Welcome to a special edition of Queer Radio. I'm Stephanie Tierney. This special episode is part of the Homelessness Marathon 2018. Today on the program, I'm joined by local transgender activist Gloria Halverson. Gloria is a person in St. John, New Brunswick, who has experienced homelessness, unemployment, and poverty because of her gender identity. LGBTQ2+ homelessness is a serious issue in Canada, and it is my hopes through interviewing Gloria that we can explore some of these struggles and learn. Please stay tuned for Queer Radio. So Gloria, thank you for joining me here on Queer Radio and for taking part in the Homelessness Marathon. This is the first time Queer Radio has been part of this marathon, and so I'm very excited to have some LGBTQ2+ voices in the mix. And we're going to be talking about poverty, we're going to be talking about homelessness, and we're going to be talking about struggles finding employment. And we're also going to be touching a little bit on queer and trans youth homelessness in Canada, which is a huge, huge problem. And I've done some research here for this program and discovered that there aren't many resources in our communities for these kids. So Gloria, speaking of that, I know you've helped out some youth who have experienced some discrimination and things like that. Can you talk a little bit about that and what your involvement was with it?
I'd be happy to. Mostly it's parents reaching out. They'll show up or reach out to me by social media. And they're struggling. They're not sure what to do. They have a trans youth or someone that's questioning. They're not sure. They're at that stage where they're just not sure. There's a certain level of confusion. Often it's I'm brought into the equation by therapists, counselors, and they ask me to attend one of the sessions. Just to put a face and kind of a real-world thing to it, although there's many very well-meaning counselors around, not everybody has the experience behind what trans is and the issues that trans face, or LGBT, I'll say plus, I know there's a lot of letters, it's just out of their realm. And although they are growing, and we are fortunate enough to have some, this is something where they reach out to local organizations like UBU just to get some input. I don't show up as a counselor. I'm not a counselor. I'm not a psychologist. I'm not a psychiatrist. I run a peer support group, and I help people. Most of what I do is try to connect people with other people that can help them. And fortunately, with the community, communicating with itself, within itself, and helping itself, we do tend to build a bit of a database. I can send you to a psychiatrist that can help you, that is experienced in this, that knows what they're doing. Things like that, endocrinologist, or how do I get started with this? How do I get help? And I get the ball rolling for people. It's rather nice. They do send feedback back and such. And by and large, it's been pretty good. Mostly because through trial and error over the years, we know who to deal with and who to send people to. When it comes to the homeless thing, it's a whole different ballpark. A lot of agencies, although they can be geared towards helping people who are homeless, there's the equation of someone being in a homeless situation, being put in a shelter, and then running into issues within the shelter, a trans person that doesn't pass, and you have problems with other people in the shelter. And it happens. And it's people end up being removed from a shelter. That can happen. Or the person just doesn't go to the shelter. They're back on the street because they actually feel safer hiding somewhere all by themselves in a tent or somewhere than having to face.
That's so true. For instance, in St. John, I know that there is there's one shelter in the city for youth, and I've been told by somebody in my network of people that there is space for a trans person in this shelter, but that space is separate from the general population within the shelter, and that's terrifying. And as you've touched on a little bit about the shelters for adults, I'm being informed that there are sort of these loose rules for how trans people can fit into the mix, and that is they have to pass in their gender. So that is, if they're male to female, they have to pass as a female, and if they're female to male, they have to pass as a male. And that's alarming, to say the least. And these, in the case of trans women, they're being sent to the men's shelter where they're experiencing violence. And like you're saying, that probably a lot of these folks are just, they're safe. They feel safer just being in an alleyway somewhere, as opposed to facing the discrimination from shelter staff and from their co-residents.
Absolutely. What happens is you're trying to avoid the direct confrontation, yeah, where you're actually having to interact with people, as opposed to being homeless and alone, where you less have to, or you do have to, but there's that illusion of I'm alone, so I'm safe.
Yeah.
I felt it myself. I'm still homeless. I've been bouncing around from people. I've been fortunate. I've slept in my van. I slept in my car before that. I have never been to a shelter. I have the anxieties about turning to one.
Yeah.
Because of that, I'm trans. I don't pass. I'm okay with it, but not necessarily the rest of the world is. Mm. Most people are good, but there are those who, they're just not nice to people like me. Mm. So I, generally myself, I just try to avoid the issue. Mm. I do know someone. I have to keep this, I can't break confidence, yeah, but I do have someone who moved from another city to here because of issues they had where they were, seeking help. Just, they needed a new start. Mm-hmm. They don't pass. They did go to a shelter. They had issues with other people in the shelter. It set them back rather than help them. And then they left the shelter and ended up homeless here. They've turned to prostitution. There's, yeah, no recourse. They can't get a job to save their life, but they're eating and they have a roof over their head now, and they're alone on their own.
Yeah.
This is so sad a story, and it's too often repeated. And I wish I had a magic wand to fix this, but yeah, really the solution is beyond just the poverty issue, which, well, we should discuss as well.
Yeah.
It's the issue about getting society to, by and large, accept trans people. You can legislate something and make something your rights, but then there's the real world, how people actually really interact with you.
Right. Sometimes it looks good on paper, but
exactly,
might not necessarily transfer
exactly
to,
yep,
to regular life. So, Gloria, you just mentioned that you've experienced some homelessness, and I, from what I know of you, I assume that that's a direct byproduct of lack of employment, underemployment, or just employment period. Would you mind sharing some of your feelings about that and just your experiences?
Absolutely.
Whatever you're comfortable with.
Sure, sure. I can be transparent with this. Pardon that. Mm. I was homeless since May. I have been homeless of this year. It's been a struggle. The place I lived, I got so behind on my rent. Really, it was time to kick me out. I don't hold malice towards them. Mm. I had no means to pay. I had no work. I maxed my credit out. I used up all my resources. I had some help from family, but there's only so much you can do with that. And just basically everything ran out. The employment I had for a long time, one of my main jobs was, I was there 18 years, and I ended up with nothing. They didn't actually fire me. They cut my hours. It was before transgender was included in the Human Rights Code. I had no recourse, although I did explore that. Most of my belongings ended up on the street. The pickers took them all or just made a mess. I lived in my car. I couch surfed a bit as I could without invading someone too much. You can overstay a welcome as,
yes,
much as there is a welcome. And I bounced around a bit.
Do you feel like that homelessness was a direct result of discrimination in your search for employment?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a big part of it. This area is definitely a depressed economy. Looking for work is a tough thing anyways.
Yeah.
And to have trans on top of that really compounds the issue of trying to find gainful employment. I am well educated. I've applied at numerous places. I don't get anything. Sometimes I know I'll get an interview after they read my resume and they like it. And then sometimes I know as soon as I walk in the door from the look of them, okay, I know I'm not getting anywhere, but I'm going to try to make a good impression.
You've told me this before. Like you walk into that room and you can just feel that
tension,
that uncomfortable or like unpleasant sensation that comes
that old,
between.
What do we got here? Kind of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you're a Gloria, huh?
Yeah. It's what it is. I really don't know what to do at this point. I have reached out to a couple of local centers, a women's outreach and such, and they're trying to find me a place. I have found employment. It's not much, but it's an all right job. Not top dollar. It's $12 an hour, but it's part time. Mm. I make good hours sometimes, 30 hours, and sometimes I make 12 or 14 hours.
Right.
It's the nature of the business. It's what it is. It's not about me or anything. They're very good with me, and I thank the world of them for being accepting and bringing me into their fold. But I'm used to having gainful employment. I'm used to helping other people, not being like this.
Yeah.
And it's a real, how do I say this? It's humbling. A wake-up call. It's like the cold water in your face. Okay, here's life slapping you. I try to be resilient. I don't think of myself as a strong person, but I am someone who tries to be strong. I did end up at a call center. I won't name, actually. I was at two. I was at one. Their attrition rate was through the roof, so they go through people just like crazy. Right. But still, it was employment. I tried it. It was predominantly American customers from the southern U.S., and the transphobia was ridiculous. Angry people just at me. Sometimes I couldn't process the call. I'd take a call. Hi, this is Gloria. How can I help you? And I would hear, are you a man or a woman? I said, I'm a woman. I do have a deeper voice, trying to pass by it. And I don't believe you. I want your supervisor. So I didn't even get to do the call.
Right.
Right. I lasted about 6 weeks. And to be honest, it was at the point I had a pit in my stomach. I was trembling, fit going to work, just having to face another day of that.
Yeah.
And I ended up leaving. I don't know. I look back and I really needed that money, but do I really need to let myself psychologically go to the point of a wreck or drive myself to do another suicide attempt?
Yeah.
I did end up, everything went to crap. I'm homeless. I did end up at a call center this summer, another place with a high attrition rate, the same old story. I don't understand. I don't have a lot of call center experience, so I really can't comment on the industry per se. But it does seem to be that there's a few that go through people. And when you're trans, that's even tougher. My voice does not match my name. And I deal with it. I've been laughed at. I've had Gloria, ha ha, and just this big laughing tirade.
Right, right.
And stuff like that. And there's a point where you're just, it's hard to take it.
Yeah.
And you just can't do it. You're a mental wreck.
Yeah.
Just to be able to face it yet another day. That one, I did pretty good. I lasted almost 6 months and it was finally time to go. There are a couple of other issues with it, too. I had oncology appointments, and they wouldn't let me take time off for it.
So, Gloria, when you were between jobs or when you were struggling, I'm assuming you went to employment insurance or social assistance to seek some help. What was your experience being a trans person and interacting with some of those agencies?
Mixed. Okay. When I first really sought help with the transgender side of things, I went to my family doctor. She referred me to counseling, and I did end up hooked up with a psychologist and really was dismissed as just offhand, you're a cross-dresser, whatever, and literally waving hand. Mm. And I walked out of there feeling way worse than when I walked in. And I never reached out for any help for about 3 months. And I got to the point where I was going to crash. I need some help with this. I got to deal with this. I got to figure this out. So I reached out again, only this time. And this is advice I really want to push towards people. Mm. Make sure you ask if those people, if this, that you get someone who is experienced with gender identity issues. Mm. Just don't throw me to someone. It has to be someone who can help. And I did it that time. And they did send me to someone. I'll say the name. It was Mac McKenzie. And he was great. And he was able to help me and get me connected to people. And then I ended up with a psychiatrist who is just amazing. She's experienced with transgender issues. Is actually from the States and then came here. Incredible. And I actually got the help I needed. Mm-hmm. The mental help, the medical help. I was ended up getting hooked up with the right endocrinologist and able to transition safely.
Yeah.
Socially transition, it's a whole different ballpark. There's one thing about being comfortable in your body. It's another thing about having to deal with the public when people have an issue with you. And then you compound homelessness and lack of jobs on top of that. No wonder our suicide rate's through the roof. It's ridiculous. The last stat I seen was 43%. I haven't seen an updated stat, but maybe there is now. Mm. I'm hoping it's a little bit better with the Human Rights Code being changed. We'll see when new stats come out.
That's like we said a few minutes ago, though. Sometimes it looks good on paper.
Yeah.
But it doesn't necessarily mean that people are going to... gonna follow through. Now, I've read about the unfortunate part for this episode is that there's really not statistics or information available for queer and trans youth homelessness in the Maritimes that I could find anyway. But in Toronto, there has been some statistics captured. Because the reality is that I'm learning is that a lot of people who go into shelters because they're homeless, these shelters and organizations aren't actually capturing the information about these people. So, in fact, a lot of the shelter intake forms only have the male and female checkbox, mm-hmm. and that they're not even collecting information about people's sexuality or gender identity and expression. So that's troublesome to me.
It is troublesome and worrying and dangerous to people. There's another side of it, which I bring up. There's a side of, you could say the religious right, or you could just say the right mm-hmm. in general. Some of these places are run by people from that spectrum of society who are well-meaning, yet exclusionary to people who are trans or non-conforming. Or just their sexuality, their sexual preference. I hate the word preference, but
right.
For the sake of understanding. And they reject. It's not their cup of tea. It's crazy. I wish there was a solution. I think the number one thing, or not number one, I'm not going to do that, but there is something that has to be addressed, is the poverty itself. In this city... we have some of the highest poverty rates. We have the highest child poverty rate in the country, which is appalling. Yet we see property values being assessed and doubled, like en masse. And that happened not too long ago. Mm-hmm. So this recent spate of it is the second go of that, right? So these doubled property values are doubled again, mm-hmm. right? Tax assessments are through the roof. Why is there no control over that? Why is that not regulated? There should be free enterprise, but there should be a certain amount of regulation where you can't actually bleed a society to the point that you're killing it. Mm-hmm. Another thing, trying to rent from an actual owner of a property is very, very difficult to do now. Everything seems to be a property manager. They've blossomed. Right. And I know I can name two for sure. I won't on the air. Mm. That they flip tenants and the rent goes up a bit, rent goes up a bit, rent goes up a bit. Next thing you know, this apartment that should be like $600 or $700 is $850 or $1,200.
Yeah.
And it's ridiculous. And you don't even know who your landlord is. You're dealing with a manager.
Yeah.
The last place I stayed, I never met the owner. I asked who it was. They refused to tell me. And all they would tell me is he's in Calgary.
Yeah.
Right. That's what I was told. I don't actually know that.
Right.
People upstairs had an all-included rent. I wanted the same. They wouldn't do it for me. They offered it after they kicked me out.
Right.
Right.
Yeah, because I mean, I think there is definitely it's a well-known fact that trans people also experience discrimination when they're going to look for a place to live as well, which compounds the whole situation. So it's kind of, to me, it's very cyclical in nature. You've got unemployment, you've got the homelessness based on lack of income, then you've got the discrimination from potential landlords, and it just goes round and round and round.
It's a vicious circle. My landlord was not transphobic. I just want to be clear with that. That was not the issue. It was really about finances.
Yeah. But I mean,
and
that, but
they're
that
trying
is...
to squeeze every possible penny out of that place as opposed to charge a fair price.
Mm-hmm. But I mean, that is something that a lot of trans people do experience, which is kind of like you're saying with going to a job interview, and when you come through the door, they're like, it's like, I'm sure this happens with folks who go to look for an apartment or a house, and then, you know, the person, the apartment manager shows up and sees you and says, you know, which I've experienced a little bit. Luckily, I consider myself fairly fortunate in the sense that although it's been uncomfortable at times, I've had to basically come out to a potential landlord, much as I'm guessing you may have, or coming out to a potential employer, which is also really, really uncomfortable and unpleasant. And so I think there's like lots of factors here that are affecting homelessness amongst trans people. The other thing I just wanted to briefly touch on was trans and queer seniors as well, because we've heard some stories about how gay and lesbian and bisexual and transgender and queer seniors have had to go back in the closet when they've been transitioned to a seniors care complex or a nursing home. And that's a tragedy too. And I wonder, I mean, I wish we had the statistics on that too.
Like, me too.
You know, I'm sure there are some homeless queer and trans seniors, and that's definitely a segment of the population that we don't know anything about.
Well, to be honest, that's a very real fear I have.
Yeah.
I am 3 years from getting my old age pension, and my health is not the best as it is. I've dealt with the ravages of cancer, and it's done what it's done to me.
Yeah.
For me to go into a home as trans and then not be prepared to deal with it, or to have to deal with other folks in it not prepared to deal with it and be trapped there and not be able to leave is terrifying.
Yeah. Oh, it's definitely something that crosses my mind too as you get older, because it's just, there's just not any real support for those folks.
No.
And for us down those few short years. Believe it or not, our time has basically come to an end. Do you have any parting thoughts, or are you comfortable with what you've shared so far?
I'm comfortable with what I shared.
Do you see resolution for any of these things?
I'm hopeful for it.
Yeah.
I don't see it in front of us, but I'm hopeful. Yeah. Hopefully things can change. For the LGBTQ plus community, it's really about getting society there, which unfortunately does take time. And as far as the poverty, yes, we did cover these issues, but overall, the people who run things, that run our provincial government, that run our civic government and such, they've got to take some responsibility for this. You've got to start regulating and stepping in and not letting landlords and property owners and the real estate folks popping up prices and tax assessments beyond realism. It's just getting ridiculous. It's gotten to the point. What about the pensioner who retired, they're comfortable in the home, they've got themselves set up to the point where okay, I'm okay now, I'm good here till I die or have to be committed to a home or something to more care. and then their property values double, their taxes double, and they lose their home.
Mm-hmm.
How was that okay? It's not okay. Yeah. And something should be done, not just someone pounding their fist on a table. We have leaders, we elect them, they get good money, they can get pensions for short times of service. Do this, yeah. Represent us,
yeah.
Help us with this, mm-hmm. Take some responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, oh my gosh.
Yeah. No, and thank you for sharing that. And I can tell you're very passionate about it, as most of us are, because it directly impacts a lot of us. And so, Gloria, if somebody was out there listening and was struggling and was identifying as a member of the LGBTQ plus community, how's the best? Are you comfortable with them reaching out to you for support?
Oh, and, please do.
And how should they do that? I know you've got an email address.
I have an email address. It's sound, S-O-U-N-D, at nbnet.nb.ca.
Mm-hmm.
There's the UBU Atlantic, which is an organization I am part of. We're a transgender support and advocacy group. We run peer support group meetings, the whole bit. They're all confidential. What happens there stays there.
Mm-hmm.
Attend, reach out to us, message us through the group, mm-hmm. send me an email. There's also PFLAG, which is a LGBTQ plus support network, and it's Canada-wide, and we do have a chapter here in St. John. Reach out to them too.
Mm-hmm.
I'll say the name, I'm sure it's safe. Stu Kearney is mm-hmm. a facilitator. He runs it, and it is on Facebook. You can reach it. You can find it on the internet. They do have actual URL web pages,
mm-hmm.
and you can contact them, and you'll find yourself getting support from people who have the lived experience,
mm-hmm.
that can say, well, I went to this place and they helped me. I went to that place. It was a disaster. And you can get some guidance where to go.
Yeah.
And get some real help.
Great. Thank you again, Gloria, for coming in and having a chat with me. I appreciate
your time. Thank you for having me, Stephanie. Always a pleasure.
I hope things look upwards for 2018 for you, and be well.
Thanks.